do celebrate this Memorial Day weekend, we do just want to say thank you to those that have served in our military, served that we could be a free nation, a free country. That term memorial, I mean, you can kind of use it not only for those that have served militarily, but just anybody really that's made an impact in your life. Is the definition of a memorial is something designed to preserve the memory of a person, event, as a moment or holiday. It's just something designed to preserve a memory of a person. So as I think back, and maybe you can think back, you know, who in your life has impacted you? Who in your life has shaped you into the person that you are? Shaped your faith? And this person could be living or not. I mean, but who comes to your mind when you start thinking about, man, I remember, like for me, I remember my grandpa, Frank. Good Dutch name, Frank. And he talked, I mean, he had a very boisterous voice. I mean, if you think I'm loud, amplify. If you think Dean's loud, you can go louder than that. And my grandpa's louder than that. I mean, you could hear him. Well, I grew up in Illinois where it's perfectly flat. And so when Brett Feltz talk, like 3 miles, you can hear us, you know. I mean, when my parents called me in to come in from outside, you know what? I could be 3 miles out, I can hear them, and I'm home. So we just have those types of voices. But my grandpa was just great. Tired of coming up here doing this. We were fishing buddies. He took me fishing. Our birthdays were only 3 days apart, so we only celebrated together. He served in World War II. He was rude. He didn't take anything from anyone. Some people were scared of him. When he talked, people listened. But he didn't have a great outlook on life toward the end there. In fact, I think I shared this with somebody, but he was saying when he asked him how he was doing, he would say that he was he was worse than yesterday, but better than tomorrow. Yeah, think about that. But he had a strong faith. And I remember growing up, people always talk about his prayers. And how he prayed. And so, as I stand here sobbing as usual, we look at this passage in Hebrews 12, the one the video mentioned we're going to be looking at today. Let's talk about running a race. So how do we run? And I know I'm not a runner. I hate running. Running was never a passion of mine. But those of you that run, that love it, great. I applaud you. That's wonderful. Me, I don't know. Maybe it's the long legs. It takes me so long to get going that I don't even want to stop. But it hurts so bad that I just want to stop. So me and running just don't get along very well. And so I'm not a runner. But I know there's some things that you need to do as a runner. Or maybe some things you shouldn't do as a runner. The first thing we're going to look at, they say don't do. If you really want to run, you don't do this, and that's looking behind you. You never want to turn around and see where your opponent's at. You never want to turn around and just and look back, because that'll cause you to do different things. But in our Christian race, in our Christian walk, we need to look back. In fact, we're kind of called to look back. We're called to look back and be reminded of those that came before us. And in this passage, in Hebrews 12, I'm going to look at starting at verse 11, 39 through 12, 2. And this is the end of chapter 11, which we call the faith chapter. We call them the heroes of faith. And it lists several different people, 17 different Old Testament characters throughout this chapter. And it says, in verse 39, it says, "All these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us." Talking about the cross. He goes, "So that apart from us, they would not be made perfect." It says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We need to look back. We need to look back and remember these witnesses that are in chapter 11, that are within our entire Bible. We need to look back. We need to learn from them and grow from them. We need to look back at those that have shaped our lives and shaped our faith. Those that have impacted us. Maybe those that brought us to the Lord. It's endless on who can be shaping us and shaping our faith. But we need to be looking back and seeing those people and seeing how they lived. They weren't perfect. We don't idolize those people, but we learn from them and grow from them. Remembering where we've come from, how we've gotten here, who influenced us, shaped us. Several times, Moses, when he was leading the Israelites, several times he would bring them back, and he would mention to them, I'm going to look at one passage in Deuteronomy 8. And Moses, again, he's telling the Israelites to remember. He's like, "Beware that you don't forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied, have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock, the flint. In the wilderness he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise you may say in your heart, 'My power and my strength of my hand made me this wealth.' You should remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. It shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God." And just being reminded again of where we're at, where we've come from, and who our God is, and what he's done for us. We can get so caught up in our own little selves and our own little lives, and we start to build up even a pride in a sense, and be like, "Oh, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished." And I think sometimes we need to be reminded and remembered of the great sacrifice that has been paid for our country, the great sacrifices that have been paid for each and every one of us. And you think back about what your parents and grandparents have done for you over the years and got you to where you were. Remembering those witnesses. And God is gracious enough to have given us his word so that we can continue to read, to learn and grow from those that have, again, gone before us. So that we can be ready. So that we don't forget. Because it's when we start to forget and we start to forget about who we are, or whose we are. When we forget whose we are, see, it makes sense, we start to drift away. But luckily we have God's word to remind us. In Romans 15:4 it says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." We need God's word. Well, it's great to have God's word, but we need to use God's word. We need to grow in it. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Hopefully because it's well used, well versed. And so when we're in a race, we are to look behind. We are to look at those behind us. But we also need to look forward. We need to have our eye on the goal, our eye on the prize. In this passage, Hebrews 12, it tells us that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. The author and perfecter of our faith. Later on, it says that Jesus, he's the author and perfecter, and he says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. He's done all that, and now he's won. He's standing at the finish line. It says that he's sitting down at the right hand of the Father. He's giving us something to look at. He was the ultimate example. So now we have that goal in front of us. The perfecter of our faith. Looking to Jesus in faith and with an attitude of faith. Believing that he's all we need. If you remember the little discourse between Jesus and Nicodemus in John chapter 3, starting in verse 14, he referenced Moses. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The author and perfecter of our faith. Our Savior, the one that came to this earth to die for our sins, he was lifted up. He makes, again, the reference to Moses, and that's from Numbers 21, where, if you remember that story, the Israelites were in the wilderness and they were having to go the long way. Let's just put it that way. They couldn't cross through Edom. And so they're having to kind of go the long way. And they're grumbling again for about the eighth time about the food and the water and everything else. And so without warning this time, God just allows the serpents from that area just to come in and start biting the people and killing them. It says they're attacked by fiery serpents. And so finally they came to Moses and they said, we've sinned. Which is kind of interesting. If you look back at all the times that God punished the Israelites, this is the first time they've actually said, hey, we've sinned. We need to please go before God and pray to him for us. And so Moses does, and God tells him that to make a serpent out of bronze and put it on a pole and lift it up. And it says if the people, when they are bitten, if they would just look up at the serpent, if they look up at that bronze serpent, they would be healed. And Jesus is saying the same thing to us if we just look to him. Just as the Son of Man is lifted up, if we look to him on that cross, dying for us, dying for our sins, believing in faith what he's done for us, the perfecter of our faith. That idea of keeping our eyes on him just reminds me of Peter when he was walking on the water. You know, he was so brave to jump out of that boat. And yet, as soon as he sees the waves crashing around him, he begins to sink. He starts crying out to Jesus. And Matthew says, immediately Jesus reaches out and grabs him and pulls him up. But then he says, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Because he took his eyes off of Jesus. He took his eyes off of him, took his eyes off the goal, off the prize, and started looking at things around him. We need to keep our eyes focused on him. Paul is telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:10, he goes, for it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially believers. And then in 2 Timothy, Paul says, he says this, he goes, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. So Paul is pouring out to Timothy, which is kind of brings me to my third point, and I've kind of changed it. Instead of running with others. We need to run for others. We need to run for them. How many times do you see a race or a sporting event or anything like that, and people feeling, oh, I did this for mom, or I did this for someone that I know. I'm running for them. Or how many times have you seen the story where there's somebody that couldn't run due to an illness or whatever, and people have, you know, then taken upon themselves to run with them, just different ways. So we need to run for others. Hebrew again tells us there's this great cloud of witnesses. And we too need to be that part of that cloud of witnesses. We need to be running for others, taking them along with us, but doing it to pass on to the next generation of what it is that God's done for us. He's, you know, the writer of the Hebrews tells us that we need to just cast off everything that hinders us, that encumbers us. Laying aside everything that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Casting off that sin. Most people think the sin is unbelief. Unbelief. In fact, Hebrews 11, 21 times that phrase, by faith. By faith Abel, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down, by faith. 21 times that phrase by faith is used in Hebrews 11 alone. And so it's our faith in Christ that enables us to endure. It's our faith in Christ that enables us to continue on. It's that faith in Christ that enables us then to bring others along with us. Like the video was saying, you know, who are we passing it on to? What are they going to say about us? We need to be working on our faith, building our faith, but then also sharing our faith. J. Vernon McGee says this, he goes, one of the greatest dangers in the Christian lives is the peril of just remaining stationary, of doing nothing. I think, unfortunately, there's so many Christians out there that they've looked to Jesus, they've looked to that cross, they believe in Jesus, they've accepted His free gift of salvation, and then they've stopped. You know, there's nothing more going in and there's nothing going out. They've become stagnant. The Bible calls us that we need to be encouraging one another, that we need to be building each other up. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it goes, therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. Passing on our faith to others. Again, so many times throughout the Old Testament, we were reminded to remember, we were reminded to pass on. An example would be Psalm 78, 5-7. It says, for He established a testimony in Jacob. So there's that witness, a testimony in Jacob. And He appointed a law to Israel, so we have God's Word. Which He had commanded our fathers that we should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And then that great passage in Deuteronomy 6, 4-9, Moses is telling Israel, he's like, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And this is our great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. These words which I command you today, they should be on your heart. But then here's the great commission. He goes, you shall teach them diligently to your sons. And you shall talk to them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. We're called to love God, but then also to love our neighbor as ourselves. To go and share what it is God has done for us. We're called to be disciples that makes disciples. And so, let us join with those that have gone before us. Those that we remember. those faithful yet imperfect people. But, you know, they've imprinted something on us, and we remember them. And so may that be said of us. And so the question is, who? Maybe better, how will we be remembered? One last verse out of Hebrews 11, 16. This is interesting, and I saw it. It was talking about, again, how we're going to be thought of. Where are we, you know, focusing on? We're talking about these great men of faith that says that, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. And this is an interesting phrase here. It says, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared a city for them. So let us, you know, live our lives in such a way that we are remembering those that come before us, that we're seeking God and his faith, but then we're also sharing that with those coming up behind us, so that we too may be said of God that he's not ashamed to be called our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our time this morning. And we thank you for those that have gone before us, that have made an impact in our lives, an impact in our faith, shaping us to be the people that we are today. And Father, I pray that as we go, that we would go taking others with us, coming alongside them, running with them, Lord, sharing what it is you've done for us with them, Lord, so that they too may grow in you, that they too might have a proper focus, and they too might have the view of the cross in front of them. So Father, I just pray that you would be with us, go before us, Lord. And we thank you. And I saw these things in Jesus' name. Amen.